California is on fire in more ways than one. At the beginning of this month, lawmakers passed Senate Bill 145. If you fact-check what is being said about this bill, you will be told that it's mostly false. I'll say it is, because the truth is much, much worse. The passage of this bill permits a 20-year-old homosexual to molest a 10-year-old boy in California. An 18-year-old can get away with molesting an 8-year-old because this bill asserts that prosecuting an LGBTQP adult offender constitutes as discrimination against the LGBTQP community. And guess what they've started calling these relationships? Intergenerational relationships. Guess what they've started to call pedophiles? Minor attracted persons. When people start monkeying around with the language to make bad things sound good, you know they're up to something evil. The authors of this bill claim that the bill will end blatant discrimination against LGBTQP young adults as it pertains to California's sex offender registry. But the devil is in the details. Who the bill is really protecting are adult sex offenders who prey upon same-sex minors. All they have to do is make sure that they're not any more than 10 years older than the kid. Because this bill has passed, an adult convicted of certain offenses involving same-sex minors will be allowed to avoid the sex offenders registry. Evidently, being on the sex offenders registry really hurts people's feelings. It has become somehow more important to protect an adult's feelings than it is to protect children. This bill has to have some light shed on it. Pastors have got to address this because Christians must be on the front lines. As Christians, it's part of your job. You might say, well, all my kids and grandkids are grown. So? The Bible never says anywhere, at any time, that only you should care for the kids that you're related to. Let me just do the Evelyn Wood. Nope, it's not in there. The Bible never tells us anywhere not to worry about kids that you're not related to. Jesus showed us the way in Matthew 19, 13 through 15. The children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Now, Jesus wasn't related to these kids, but he blessed them anyway. Christians must be in the business of blessing children, and the way to do that right now is to stand up for them. As it pertains to this bill, there are two very important facts that we have to get straight. This is not a bill supporting pedophilia. Although, mark my words, that bill is coming too. I can't believe it's not here already. I predicted 10 years ago we would be looking at this. This is a bill that supports a thing called pederasty. Pedophilia targets young children. Pederasty targets preteens and teenagers. At the heart of pederasty is this thing that Americans call grooming. Grooming is everywhere in our culture. Just this week, Netflix released a movie called Cuties. It's a porno film featuring 11-year-old girls. A couple of years ago, I spoke out against the magazine Teen Vogue and their attempt to groom children and normalize indecent behaviors. Believe me when I tell you, they're still at it. States are now voting in new grooming materials disguised as sex ed materials. This stuff is being presented as early as kindergarten. If I went to the park where there's a bunch of kids and showed them pictures out of the books, I would be arrested. But these same pictures are being shown to your kids in school in at least 21 states. Is your kid or grandkid's school using these materials? You better check. The second fact we need to keep straight about this bill is that this bill only applies to homosexual assaults on minors and not heterosexual assaults on minors. Heterosexual adults will not be excused for the same type of crimes as homosexual adults will be in California. It is still called statutory rape if an adult assaults a minor of the opposite sex. But an adult assaulting a minor of the same sex is now called do what you want if the kid says yes. Why is this being permitted? Because one act is politically correct and the other isn't. Remember when I discussed intersectionality and identity politics? This is that. The LGBTQP community is seen as an oppressed group, and therefore their wants and desires are given special consideration. The bill uses the term willing minor. This means if the kid is willing, the adult can do whatever. Let that sink in for just one second. If the kid is willing, who doesn't know a kid who wouldn't agree to just about anything for candy or cash? Here, willing means to give consent. Now, why didn't they just lower the age of consent to 13 or 14? Because that's too obvious. Everybody would know specifically what they're up to. What specifically are they up to? Legalizing sex with children. All of this deviant behavior is not new. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. Ancient paganism is the comeback kid in the modern world. We hear a lot of talk about progressive. Well, this ain't that. This is regressive. In regard to morality, we are returning to a place that Western civilization determined was evil a long, long time ago. This is just one of the consequences our modern society is facing because we have rejected Judeo-Christian ideals. Paganism isn't just creeping up on us. It's come right in. It's sitting on your couch, and it's eating your Fruit Loops. The term pagan was initially used to describe those who did not believe in God, did not follow biblical practices. The Greco-Roman world was thoroughly pagan in ideology and practice. It was totally at odds with biblical thought and practice. The idea that God is everywhere is a pagan thought. Atheism, relativism, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, pornography, and infanticide, these were all pagan practices in the ancient world. These activities are becoming common and even celebrated today. Most alarmingly, the sexual defilement of children, advocated by Plato and practiced widely in the pagan Greco world, has crept into our country and is seen especially in this cleverly disguised California bill. The Bible clearly teaches us that children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. In stark contrast, the ancient pagan world viewed children as disposable. Aristotle advocated killing children for population control and to rid the earth of malformed infants. History records a case of a Roman soldier advising his pregnant wife, if their child was born while he was at war and it was a girl, she should destroy it. But if it was a boy, she should let it live. The pagans of ancient Canaan and Carthage offered babies as sacrifices to the god Baal. They were hoping if they gave their child, the god would give them perks in return, like give Baal your child and Baal might give you rain in exchange. Sounds like an unfair trade to me. Today we have abortion, which has murdered millions of unborn children. But put a bookmark in that. I can't get that to that today, but I will next week. A cold, dark truth has emerged with the rioting in the streets, the violence that is tolerated and celebrated, and now with this California bill. The truth is, paganism has returned. The spread of Christian ideas in the West and general respect for the Bible did not completely eliminate paganism. Many ancient ideas simply went underground and hibernated, waiting for the right time to reemerge. And today's climate is that right time. We are experiencing a pagan spring. America was once considered Christian, but she is in the middle of a pagan revival. Many concepts being driven by the political world are part of the reemergence of pagan ideas that stand in direct opposition to biblical Christianity. And those ideas are deadly, especially to society's youngest members. All pagan cultures, use and abuse children. We will be no different if we continue down this road. Numerous biblical scholars have recognized that we are slipping backwards into a pre-Christian past. Society is beginning to resemble the ways in which Greeks and Romans lived. They emphasized physical pleasures, gratuitous violence, unlimited sexual freedoms, multiple gods, and to top it off, you weren't supposed to feel guilty about any of it. While there are still a few of us out there who object to these changes, our country continues to jettison biblical values and absorb thoroughly pagan ones. We are clearly heading down the path to perdition. More than 80 years ago, social critic T.S. Eliot noted, "The future of Western societies would be determined by the winner of the contest between Christianity and modern paganism." A generation later, theologian Carl F. H. Henry warned, "Neo-pagans are threatening to undermine the foundations of the Western civilization, and that the already visible result of their ideas is paralleled only by Pompeii and Sodom." Today, numerous theologians see a culture war is being waged, and this culture war is not what we think it is. It's a culture war between Judeo-Christian values and pagan ideas. The Bible reveals that the god of this age is Satan, and he has deceived the entire world from seeing the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. "The god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan is absolutely the demonic force behind the return to paganism in the Western world. Law professor at the University of San Diego, Stephen D. Smith, wrote Pagans and Christians in the City. In this book, Smith argues that much of what we understand as secularism is really the return of a pagan religious conception, which was not fully snuffed out by the rise of Christianity. We have forgotten how deeply Christianity revolutionized our world for the better. There are many ideas that we just take for granted when, in fact, they didn't exist until Christianity existed. The theology of children is just one of those ideas. Christianity changed all cultures for the better when it elevated the status of children. Because we don't really know history anymore, we don't know that children once were not valued. Just go back to the view of children that prevailed in Europe's ancient pagan world. In his book, When Children Became People, historian O.M. Bake wrote that in the ancient Greek and Roman world, children were considered non-persons. In the ancient world, society was organized in concentric circles. And the circle at the center, which is supposed to be the most important circle, contains the person of the highest value. This would have been the freeborn adult male. And then there are circles that came after this one, and each circle represented a less thought of person. So the people in the outside circles had little to no value. Foreigners, slaves, women, in that order, were in the next circles. And children in the last circle meant that they were the least valuable person in society. High infant mortality rates created cultural pressure not to develop emotional attachments to children. And this cultural feeling was exacerbated by the fact that women were more likely to love their children than men. If women liked anything in the ancient world, that thing had to be silly, weak, and vulgar. Various pagan authors describe children as being a lot like plants and less like humans. Parents typically didn't interact with their children because people don't typically interact with their plants. Parents didn't see a need to raise their own children. Instead, they gave them to the care of servants and slaves. And being a child in the ancient pagan world was a terrible thing. Children were beaten on a daily basis. In Rome, a child's father had the right to kill him for whatever reason until he became of age. One of the most notorious ancient practices that Christianity fought against was the frequent abandonment of unwanted infants. Girls were abandoned at a much greater rate than were boys. Being abandoned as an infant meant one of two things. Death was one, and being sold as a sex slave was the other. Christians rescued these abandoned babies and adopted them. Modern adoption has its roots in Christianity. Oh, sure, adoption existed before Christianity, but it wasn't for the good of the child. Adoption was always for the good of the father adopting the child. Christianity came along and said, no, adoption has to be for the kid and not for you. Another notorious practice in the ancient world was the sexual exploitation of children, and especially boys. There were brothels that specialized in sex slaves, and boys were their featured event. And these businesses were thriving all over ancient Rome. But Christians stood up and demanded that this be changed. Christians stood up and said, children are not toys. As this thing progresses, and my friends, it's going to progress if we don't stop it, supporters will use the same argument that everybody else uses to justify their unsavory predilections. Well, Jesus never said anything about fill in the blank. In this case, we'll fill in the blank with pedophilia. Jesus never said anything about pedophilia. You want to bet? Jesus specifically addressed the evil way in which children were treated in the ancient world. Reading now from Matthew 18, 2 through 6. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Christianity's founder, Jesus Christ, came into the world decrying the maltreatment of children. Following in his footsteps, Christians loudly condemned abortion, infanticide, and child molestation. Church leaders focused on Christ's instruction to imitate children, and they began to propose new ways that Christians should treat the least of them. Christianity entered into the world pointing fingers at those who would harm children, and they spoke about how special and valuable children were to God. I was at a baby shower yesterday for Larry's great-grandchild, little McKenna Josephine. She is a peanut. She's so tiny. She has these long, skinny little fingers. And I knew, as I sat at this baby shower, looking at this little tiny peanut, she's valued in God's sight. She's valuable. Oh, we all know it at the baby shower. But unbelievably, there are people in our world who do not see babies or children in this way. Any glowing thing that we have to say about children is pure hypocrisy if we remain silent. This is the world that some in our culture want to return to this pagan world where great evils are just a part of life. But the worst thing about a return to paganism is children become playthings to satisfy adults. Christianity's intervention on behalf of children and their authorship of the cultural idea that children are treasured human beings was an outgrowth of an old, old revolutionary idea. This revolutionary idea comes from Genesis. The infinite value of every single human being, regardless of their age, is that they are made in the image of God. This was such a revolutionary idea to the pagan world that it changed the world so much that those who lived in this world no longer recognized it. COVID has been a boon for all sorts of pagan activities, but especially for child traffickers. While we've all been in our houses, believe me, child traffickers are not in their houses. Today, there are Christian groups who are on the front lines fighting the trafficking of children. Stephen had a slide up, and it's showing on Facebook Live too, of some of the agencies that are fighting against these evils. I recommend that you check a couple of these out in your free time, just to see what they're doing, just to see how they are making an impact in this very dark pagan part of our country. Lately in the news, we've been seeing children being rescued from sex traffickers. At least 30 traffickers were arrested in August. And the righteous are going, yay, but the pagans are going, boo. An opinion piece in the New York Times defended these traffickers, saying they didn't hurt anybody. They didn't hurt anybody. This is what we're fighting. We're not just fighting the traffickers. We're also fighting the guys who are rooting for them. Christians, I know there's a lot on our plates today. I feel it too. I feel like my plate doesn't have room for one more thing. But we must go back to our elemental roots, where we said, children matter. Children are made in the image of God. God has given children to us as a reward and as a gift. And as such, we must stand up and we must protect them from pagans who would do evil to them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us the strength we need and the space in our lives to give this attention, that we may protect the children around them, related to us or not, because all children are a gift from you, and we thank you for them. Amen.